Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are here celebrating Jesus is risen. Hallelujah.
Yay.
And we are in Terrorize Bible Study. Tell it well.
We are. It's
and,
fun.
In the book of Acts, chapter 9.
I love this chapter. This chapter is such a fun chapter. I have a funny story before I get started I have to tell you. I was at Omaha Christian Academy, and what was heavy on my heart at the time was I was going to take the chapter of Acts 9 and Acts 10 and go in. I was speaking at the elementary chapel, and I was going to tell the story of Acts 9 and tell the story of Acts 10, like side by side, but only the part about Saul's conversion mm-hmm. and the part about Cornelius's conversion. And I was up storying, and I could tell the kids were so engaged, and even the adults were really paying attention, because Saul is just one of those stories that gets you.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the thought occurred to me, wait a minute. I think I just started storying Cornelius's story in the middle of Saul's story. And I froze, and I looked at the students, and I said, can anybody in this room tell me what I just said wrong? And nobody in the room could tell me, because it was all familiar enough that they didn't realize that I had gone out of the story. And I said, okay, if you trust the person who's coming up to talk to you and you don't know the word of God for yourself, when somebody does mess up, mm-hmm. you're not going to know it if you haven't studied the word. And I just messed up big. And the students were like, huh? And I said, I was telling you Saul's story. And then right in the middle of Saul's story, I went in to Cornelius's story, and nobody stopped me. And I said, that's the reason why we have to know the word of God for ourselves. Because if we don't know it for ourselves, how are we going to know when somebody that we know and trust, because you know my heart, you know I would not deliberately come up here and say something wrong. But sometimes things come out of our mouths, even when we want to say it right, it comes out wrong. And so the only way you can guard your heart to know that what you're hearing is the truth is if you knew it yourself. Well, I was also that day teaching in drama. And one of the high school students, the high school drama, came to that chapel that day. And one of the high school students said, Mrs. Rye, did you do that on purpose? And I said, what? And he goes, mess up at chapel today. I told him, I said, no. And I said, you know, God has a way. God has a way of protecting fools. And I said, honestly, mm-hmm. he just gave me in an instant what I needed to make it into a teachable moment. But the reality is I really did mess up. And if you don't know the word, you're not going to know. And, I mean, it so sobered him, because he knows my heart. And his mom has actually sat through my teaching before. And so he knows how passionate I am mm-hmm. about getting the word right. And so it was kind of like an amazing moment for me, but it was an amazing moment for them. And it's so easy how when we are communicating God's word, where we can easily mess up, and we need to know the mm-hmm. word of God. So I wanted to tell that story to encourage people to take the time to really study it for themselves. That's the whole point. That's mm-hmm. why we do this. We do it. We help with the Bible study, but it's your responsibility to study it. Okay, mm-hmm. so before we begin now, with that said, let's see if I can do Acts 9 without messing up.
Get some water in you, mm-hmm. the living water, and it'll be fine.
I needed a sip. Okay, so we're in Acts 9, and we're going to look at Saul. And we're going to look at some other characters over the next 4 weeks in this one chapter. And this chapter may seem quite simple, but it's actually really chalked with a lot, full with a lot of stuff. So we have Saul, who is just murderously entrenched on his way to Damascus, because he has heard that the Christians, the disciples, are making inroads in Damascus. So he went and got permission to go and arrest them. And he was on his journey on this road and just furiously traveling as fast and hard as he could, when all of a sudden this bright light fell in front of them, and he heard this voice call out, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul cried out, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up, and I want you to go to the street called Straight, and I want you to wait for a man called Ananias, and he's going to come, and he's going to tell you what you must do. Well, the caravan of men that were with Saul, they went over to him because they were all like flat on the floor. Now, they could tell something was being said, but they couldn't hear what it was. And they could see something, but they just didn't hear the words that Saul heard. Whereas Saul, he could hear it and he had saw the light. But when they went to lift him up, he couldn't see at all. And so the men that were storming with him into Damascus all of a sudden had to guide him and lead him blind into Damascus. He went into Damascus and they took him to the street called Straight. And he stayed at this house. And for 3 days, he stayed in a closet. And all he did was fast and pray. At the same time, there is a very godly man who was just about his business when a vision came to him. And in his vision, it was the Lord. And the Lord called upon him and said, Ananias. And he immediately said, yes, Lord. And the Lord said to him, I want you to go to the house of Judas on the street called Straight. And I want you to go to a man from Tarsus named Saul. And I want you to tell him what he must do. And Ananias is like, Lord, I have heard about him. He's a man who has authority and he's come to kill the Christians. And the Lord says, you must go, get up and go, because he is my chosen instrument. And you need to tell him how much he needs to suffer for my sake. Ananias immediately obeyed God. He did exactly as God asked him. He got up and he went to the street. And as he entered in, he went up to Saul. He put his hands on Saul and he said, Saul, I am sent by Jesus, the one who you saw. And as he began to pray over Saul, immediately it was as if scales fell off his eyes and he could see and he understood. And he got up and he went out and he was baptized. And as after his baptism, he immediately began to walk with the disciples and preach about Jesus as the Son of God. And as he was going around and preaching and telling others about Christ, the Jews were starting to watch and see what was happening. And here he had been the man who was on their side. All of a sudden, he's flipped sides and he's now telling everybody about Jesus. And they were getting angry. And they wanted to put a stop to what he was doing. And so the Jews began to plot and plan how to destroy Saul. And the disciples had heard about it that were followers now of Saul. And they literally had to, at the dark of night, lower him in a basket outside the city and leave the city. And so he escaped and he went to Jerusalem and began to preach. Well, when he was in Jerusalem and he's preaching, the Christians, when they looked at him, all they could think of is, he's the one that was out, you know, gathering us and killing us and putting us in prison. And they didn't trust him. But there was one man named Barnabas that he could tell that something had happened in Saul. And so he took Saul and he said, come with me. And he went to the apostles and he began to tell them about all the amazing things that Saul had been doing for the Lord and how he was preaching about Christ crucified. And this was convincing them that Saul was a changed man. Now, in Acts, this passage, it then tells us some things that begin to happen in Peter's life. And as Peter had left Jerusalem, as Saul was coming back in, he was actually going out in the countryside. And as Peter was going out and visiting the people in Lydda and Sharon in that area, there was a man that he had been bedridden for over 8 years. As a paralytic. And they brought him to him. And Peter said, Ananias, and Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and walk. And immediately he got up and began to walk. And anyone who saw in Lydda and Sharon, Ananias, they immediately believed. Because they knew how badly he had been paralyzed. And as Peter continued going around, there was a group that came and grabbed him and said, you know, you've got to come because Tabitha, which is also another name, is Dorcas. She has died. And he went into her room and asked them to leave, and he knelt down beside her bed and began to pray. She sat up, and when she looked at him and saw his face, He said, get up. She stood up. She rose. And they were all so amazed that people were coming and bringing all kinds of people to Peter to bring healing. But he took off, and he did the most unusual thing. The chapter ends with an amazing statement that most people would not pay attention to, but it's really important to understand it. It says that Peter went to go stay at Simon the Tanner's house, and that's how the chapter ends. Okay, now we're going to begin the process of dialoguing through all of this and looking at different things that we can learn from Saul as he is on his journey. And when you think of Saul, Sabrina, what do you think of? I mean, what does he make you? Saul, not Paul, but Saul.
I think when I think of Saul, I think of the fact, that he's a persecutor.
Yeah.
But it is as weird as it sounds. It just gives me hope. Like, I think of Saul and I think, like, I know Sauls. I was a Saul.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I don't necessarily think of it in the negative. I know what he did was wrong and what I did was wrong. But it's just the grace of God. That's how when I hear that name, that's immediately what I thought of.
That's awesome. That's really cool. When I was studying Acts, I wrote down in my journal, I wrote, how do you stop a freight train? Because when I studied Saul, one of the things that I found out is these words where it says, in verse 1, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and he went to the high priest. The depiction of Saul as he was going out and gathering believers, and I think I referenced this last month, the depiction is of him as like a ferocious wild boar. I mean, It is just crazed in what he is doing. And I thought, man, he is a freight train.
Yeah, non-relenting.
Completely. And I just wrote down in my journal, I'm like, God, how do you stop a freight train? And I was reminded of a situation one day. Typically, when I'm in a writing day, I will not answer my phone. I don't do texts or anything because I really have to stay focused. Mm-hmm. Can't go in and out on that. And one day I was in the middle of writing and my phone rang. And for whatever reason, I answered the phone. And this person ended up being a man, somebody I know very, very well in my life. And otherwise I wouldn't have stayed in conversation very long. And in the process, he started talking to me. And over a 3-hour phone conversation, he began to share with me the story of a freight train. And it was a very sad, grief-stricken story. And when he was finally done spilling his heart, I began to ask him questions about Jesus to find out where he stood. And it was very evident he didn't. And in the process, he ended up believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was such a profound day for me because once that happened, and after we had time to dialogue and what it meant to be a disciple of Christ, how to grow in Christ, he said, Tara, I want to tell you something. And I'm like, what? And I could tell he had been upset, but I could hear the peace now in his voice. And he said, I didn't tell you, but when I called, I was sitting in my closet and I had a shotgun with the trigger ready to pull with the shotgun aimed underneath my neck at my head. And he goes, I was ready to pull the trigger. But just before I pulled the trigger, I heard, call Tara. I have no idea why he called me because I usually don't even make phone calls, but we obviously know that God was at work. And he ended up coming to know Christ. And a freight train was stopped because he heard and he was willing to listen. And I thought, Saul was a freight train. Saul was so bent on doing what he was going to do that it was only going to take Jesus Christ, literally, that bold, that dramatic, for him to stop. And so I actually looked it up. Sabrina, you're going to so laugh. I looked it up. A typical train is 1 mile to a mile of a quarter of a mile long. It's 90 to 120 rail cars. I didn't know that they were that long. I did not know trains were a mile long. That's the typical freight trains. And they said that if they have an emergency, the railroad engineers know that for a train that length, they need a mile at minimum for a stop to occur. Okay, because you have that much length and you have that mm-hmm. much power, that much movement, it's going to be that much harder to stop. And Saul's stop was so profound that when I was reading the commentators' writing about the light, I think it was J.W. McGarvey in the 1800s, he said, you have got to understand, Christ's light was so bright that it was as if the sun became dull. That's how bright the light was. And that's why he was blinded. I mean, it took something that dramatic to get Saul to stop in his tracks. That is powerful light, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, just because lately it's been cloudy, which I praise God for the clouds, you know. But when we get like a glimpse of the sun, we're like, yes. And that's just a glimpse of a clouded sun. So to think that it makes the sun look dull.
It's crazy. Now, think even about the fact that if you're in your dark house and you walk outside and it's the bright sun.
Yeah, you're like.
It's very hard to see. Mm-hmm. And here he has been confronted with the light of the world.
And he knew it was the Lord.
You know, he actually uses the lowercase. He uses the L. And so he knows. And that, I'm so glad you brought it up because we're going to talk about that. He recognizes a master, an authority, but he does not know who he is.
Okay.
Interesting. So he has an inkling of something bigger and greater and grander than he understands.
Okay.
Because it's so powerful, the light. But he does not know. And that's why he says, who are you, Lord? And
that's so funny.
We're gonna close this one up with, I want you to think, whenever we are confronted with Jesus, there's two good questions we need to ask ourselves. Because Saul asked two really profound questions that day. He ended up asking, who are you, Lord? And then he asked, what must I do? And so when it comes to a point where we are confronted with the face of God, that's what we need to ask. Who are you, and what it is that you ask me to do? And then we'll look over the next 3 weeks what the follow-through of that looks like. Because the whole summation of what I came up with on Acts 9, it's about being available when we meet Christ face to face. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we look forward to dialoguing with you more about this chapter. God bless.